I'm about to unleash John Vatron on you. John, come on up. John and Estera Vatron are two of the most real people I know for Jesus Christ. So I can assure you, and you will soon discover, everything that comes out of his mouth comes from a pure heart. My friend?
I got it.
Oh. He's had three different microphone setups today, so
yeah.
I thought you did great the first two, so I don't know what this one will do to you, we'll see.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for the privilege that Pastor Dan, you've entrusted the pulpit to me today, and it's been a privilege to stand before Sierra community believers and share with you the most wonderful message that we have ever received, the message of love from our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, you've seen a little bit about Romania and about the ministry. The video is done by my son, Jonathan. He's right here. He's my musician right there. Johnny, if you would stand, please, right there. And the voice. Yes, and the voice was the voice of our daughter. She's not here today, but my wonderful wife, she is here, right there. Yes, thank you. I've been in love with this lady for 35 years, and I still look forward to the next 35. Yes, it is a privilege to be able to stand before you, and after serving in Romania again for a few years, to say thank you in person and to express our gratitude for giving us the privilege to make a difference together with you in hundreds and thousands of Romanian souls 15,000 miles away from here. And, you know, when we come back and you stay away for a few years, when you come back, I don't know, I'm sure that some of you travel, but when we come back, we just want to kiss the ground. The Lord has given us the privilege. Our parents fled communism in the early 70s, and it was by grace that we've been adopted by this country. And we can call ourselves American citizens. And when you come back, and you sense the freedom, it's in the air. You want to be grateful and thankful for all that God has given to us through this wonderful country. And I would like to speak from that perspective of the one that has been raised in the communist country. And I just want to share with you, the message today will be about a challenge about how important it is to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And what a privilege we have as believers to make a difference for Him. And of course, we're living some very interesting times. And I say this because we see political crisis, that's for sure, in the last few months. We've seen social crisis, a health crisis, if we may say so. We've seen a moral crisis. And of course, when you look at most of the major prophecies have been fulfilled. You hear about Israel in the news. In fact, I don't understand, but you hear people talking about anti-Semitism and all that when you hardly have any Jews in Europe left. But still, it's interesting how all of this need to happen before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You hear talking about Jerusalem and all this, when you put it all together, I think it's so important for us believers, for Christians, to understand that the coming of our Lord, the second coming, it's near, it's very near. And we need to make sure that we seriously take our mandate. You remember Apostle Paul says that we are ambassadors for Christ. We represent the interests of heaven here on earth. So more than ever before, I think today, in the light of all this crisis and in the light of what is happening today, looking at the fact that Christ's coming is near, I believe it's about 11:45. We don't have much time left. And as Christians, I think we need to, we're called, having Christ in us and having the Holy Spirit, we are called to be, to shine and make a difference for Him. And therefore, I'd like to be an encouragement to you today. And I think it's more than just business as usual for the believers and for the church today. I think it's an urgency of need at this point to take seriously our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you know, when you stay away for a few years, And when you come back, you have that nostalgia. And you're going to see, what are you going to do? What are you going to do first when you get in the country? Well, of course, the first thing that crossed my mind, I want to hit the Starbucks. First thing. I want to get one of that strong pike and enjoy that. Because, you know, soon they're going to go back. So I want to get that. Then the second thing, you want to go to In-N-Out. You got to get that going, you know. Yeah. But then one other thing that we looked forward, especially me and my son, we always, when we come back after a few years, we want to visit the car show in San Francisco. As every year, that's in October. And we see our brothers and sisters there from San Francisco. And we always look forward to that. And this year, we didn't miss that. No ladies allowed. We just, me and my son, we all day long, we just spend our time there admiring the beauty of the new vehicles and new cars. But you know, there was one car. It was one that was really fascinating. It was a brand new 6.7 250 Ford. I mean, truck. This was turbocharged. This was, a big deal. This was, you know, lifted. It was amazing. It was one of those Godzillas. You know, it was tough. It was big. And what I'm saying is, I mean, you know, I have to recognize that, you know, every real man has a truck in the U.S. You know, I mean, you've seen it. Everybody has a truck, you know. And you know, even though, you know, you see, they have these big deals, big trucks. And then, you know, he goes to Home Depot and buy two screws with it. You know what I mean? But he needs the truck. He needs to have that big truck with him. But, you know, what I wanted to say about this trucks things, you know, I think believers today, you have to be one of those 250 supercharged 6.7. As believers, in order to make the difference, you can't be a Pinto. You remember the Pinto? You remember the Pinto? You can't be a Pinto. Well, when you come from Europe and you see Europeans have those little matchboxes, you know, on four wheels, you know, small little cars, you know, when you come here and you're fascinated by these wonderful big trucks, I believe the church today needs to have the energy, the enthusiasm, and the passion for the Lord Jesus Christ to make the difference. And, you know, sometimes when I come back and I visited a few churches and believers and friends, you see some kind of rheumatism, some kind of spiritual arthritis, and you wonder, where is the enthusiasm? Where is the passion for the Lord? When I've realized what Christ has done for me, I can't just stay passive. I have to tell people about it. And I hope that in this few moments that I am with you here, I'd like to share with you a little bit about how important it is to really love Jesus Christ. You can't stay passive. And I have a passage that I'm sure that you're familiar with this passage. It's in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. It's the last four verses here. And it is the passage known for the Great Commission passage. I'm not going to speak on the Great Commission today, but there are two important lessons here. That has to do with the imperative for us to be involved and make a difference for Jesus. This passage has to do with the last message that Jesus had for his disciples before he went to heaven. And of course, if you were to think the last address, it was very important. If you were to give a last address to your loved ones or to your friends, you would be very careful and you would calculate the message and the words that you will be saying. And I think this passage, it's so important. It was the last address. It was an imperative. Some important truths that Jesus wanted to communicate to his disciples. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 28. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, here it is, verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. This is the first lesson. This is the first truth. Then we need to get it. All authority, Jesus said, has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Then, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Two important lessons that we have here. And of course, I mentioned there are two imperatives because the main subject of today is the imperative of serving our Lord Jesus Christ, the imperative of making a difference for Him, the imperative of making sure that. I remember John Calvin, he said how important it is to live our life in the light of eternity, to live your life in the light of eternity. After all, what really matters? What is really important in the light of eternity? Of course, the education is very important. Position in society is important. It is important in what we have and what we get and material things and all this. They're all important. But in the light of eternity, nothing can be more important than what we do for Christ, because that's what's going to last. So in order for us to realize and evaluate our values and our priority in lives, because we know that everything we have is from Him. Our health, our resources, our intelligence, whatever, our riches, everything is for Him, so it belongs to Him. We are just administrators for a little while of everything we have from Him. So we are going to give an account of all that we got. Now, in this passage here, these two important lessons are here. The truth about the divine authority of Jesus Christ that I mentioned in verse 18. All authority has been given unto me, Jesus said. And this is the first lesson. And then it comes the second lesson, the second truth. The truth about the divine calling to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. There is an important relationship that we need to see between these two. If we don't get the first one, we're not going to get the second one. If we don't understand the truth about the authority of Jesus Christ, we're not going to understand and take seriously the calling, the divine calling to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why I think we need to see both of these things, because my question is sometimes, why aren't believers as engaged? Now, I come from a country where we're talking about decades of communism, oppression, of atheism. We're talking about half a century where people did not have the freedom. Even if you wanted to serve, you couldn't serve. I grew up in communism, and if you were a child of the believer, you couldn't go to university. If you were even an intellectual, you couldn't have a position in society, a higher position and a well-paid position, because you're a believer. So, you know, if you were to watch Romanians or believers that have come out of communism, to see how they make the best of every opportunity to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, because they are afraid it's possible that they might lose that freedom, and they want to make the most of it. But if you really want to serve, we have to understand that this authority, it's not given by man. It's God's authority. It's an imperative, you know. It's not if you want to serve the Lord, or if you desire, or if you feel about it, if you feel good about it. No, it is an imperative. You have to go, therefore, and make disciples, you know. And I'll be talking a little bit about later on about this. But what I like to share with you now is we're gonna go a little bit about through this truth about the authority of Jesus Christ, because it's crucial. We need to get this. We're not talking about a human authority. We're not talking, you know, Romanians have lived under the demonic authority, atheistic authority. You could not even if you want to. And why I am saying this, you know, when I got back and I had some friends and I met some, we're very close. We live in the Bay Area. Most of our family is in the Bay Area near Berkeley. So we met some people that had children going to Berkeley University, you know. And, you know, Berkeley says a lot, you know, says a lot these days, you know. And, you know, the guy, you know, this young man, you know, of course a young intellectual, he asked me, you know, can you give me a definition of socialism? Oh, I said, boy, I couldn't wait for this question, because I grew up in socialism. And I don't know what answer did he want me to give him. And I said, you know what socialism is? I'll tell you what socialism is. Socialism is a communism with a makeup. It's got a little Maybelline on it. You know what I mean? It looks kind of, socialism comes out of communism. Communism comes out of atheism. It comes out of humanism. Whereas there is no divine and God's authority. It's man's authority. That's what it's all about. So here in this passage, I think we need to understand that we are talking about Christ's authority. All authority has been given unto me, it says Jesus, in heaven and on earth. Now, when we speak of authority, there has always been problem with manipulating authority or compromising authority. And we have problems sometimes even in the family. You know, the husband wants authority, the wife wants authority, and you see sometimes conflict. And then overall, here is the mother-in-law. She wants all the authority above all. You know. But, you know, we're not talking about human authority. We're not talking about the government authority, political authority, no, social authority. We're talking about the divine authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, the pastor says, I have all authority, total authority, complete authority, undivided authority, exclusive authority, and he's the ultimate authority. And you have a number of passages here. If you want to mark them down or if you want to take a picture, you can. This is so important because we are not to compromise. And the question is, under what authority do I live my life? Who governs over my dreams, my passions, my desires, my investments, my priorities and my values? Who governs? Who controls me? As believers, as serious believers, somebody gave a definition of what it means to be a Christian. And I like that. He said, a Christian, it means to be in business for Christ. Can you believe that? If you are a true believer, you're in business for Christ. You know, he is the authority. He paid the price for me. You know, I am his. He owns me. So I am responsible to abide and bow down and be submissive to this authority. So why it is important to understand is that there is no church that has authority beyond Jesus Christ. No, it is Christ that has all authority. He didn't divide his authority. He didn't share his authority. Although we would like someone to get some of that authority, we would like to, you know, there is no church, religion, or denomination that have authority, more authority than Jesus Christ. Why I say it is because it's so easy to get manipulated. When it comes to authority, you know, we need to understand that this is the divine authority that it was given to us, and we need to be very concerned about being submissive to the word of Jesus Christ. Now, there is divine authority. We're going to go through some important truths about divine authority of Jesus Christ, and then we are going to go through the last of the passage that speaks about the divine calling to serve Jesus Christ. This divine authority is in the person of Jesus Christ. It is in the presence of Jesus Christ. You have that in Mark 10:30. And it's in the power of Jesus Christ. And boy, you know, when you read these passages, you realize that there is no way we can confuse Jesus with anybody else. There is no way we can settle and compromise for any other source of power and authority. I had a chance to speak not very long ago in a church, and there were families and children and parents and all together. And, you know, speaking of God's authority, you know, we have the structure of authority that is very well outlined in Scripture. It's God the Father, it's God the Son, it's the husband, it's the wife, and there are the children. And this is the structure. If I like it or if we don't like it, that's the way it is. And speaking about parents and children, it is interesting that as parents, as a parent, as a husband, and as a father, I was given the responsibility to raise my children and to do it in a wise way. And the children need to submit under my authority as a parent. And of course, I have to exercise that authority in a godly way, to discipline them if it's needed, in a godly and loving way, carefully so he can learn the lesson. So I thought about it because we have so much rebellion these days. And I said, you know, it is very interesting that I need to be submissive because I am the authority of God and I'm the authority of Jesus. And my children needs to be submissive to me. So if I'm not obedient and if I don't discipline my children, you know, and I exercise godly authority, then he's going to discipline me because I haven't been obedient to his authority. So am I stupid? Why should he discipline me when I can discipline him? How about that? So you see, there are consequences. Either there is business, there is family, or there is church. In all relationships that we have, there is a divine authority that leads to Jesus Christ. And we need to be very careful because blessings come when we are obedient to God's word. So when we speak of the authority here, we are speaking of the person of Jesus Christ, of the presence of Jesus Christ, you know. And we speak about the power of Christ. And then you have the passage in John 14. And you remember, in the name of Jesus Christ. Scripture says, when two or three come together and ask in his name, he'll grant it. Now, were a crowd here this evening. Imagine if 50, 60, 100 people will seriously bow down in the name of Jesus. There is power in that name. There is blessing in His name. Is Emmanuel, God with us? And you remember so many passages where people ask in His name to be healed, to be forgiven. There is blessing, divine blessing in His name. In His name is the authority. And then we have the word of Christ. And there is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. There is authority in God's word. In God's word. This is God's revelation for us. And here is what we are called to be submissive. This is the only authority that we have written and given to us. So we can live according with the plan that He created for us to live according with His will. So this is the divine authority in the person of Christ. Why I am saying this? It's not an institution. It's not an earthly institution or organization. No, it's not anybody. It's not in a man. It's not a cleric. It's not in a pastor. It's not in a pope. It's not a religious leader. It's in a person, presence, power, and the word of Christ. Amen? Amen? All right. We go further on here. Further on here. Now, we have display of Christ's authority. And we need to get this, because, you know, if we are not going to really understand the authority of Jesus Christ, we are not going to seriously take the mandate of serving Him. The power and authority to forgive sins. And we have this in a number of passages here. No one can forgive sins. There is no church that can forgive sins. I wish I could forgive somebody their sin. I can forgive mine. You know, there is nobody on this earth that can give forgiveness. And regardless how many sins you have committed, regardless of how greater the sins are, the only one that has the power to forgive sins is the one that died on the cross for us. And He took the wrath of God upon Him on Calvary. He paid. He was cursed for us, for me and you, so I can have forgiveness, so I can be freed. This is the authority. And you know, it's interesting that the Pharisees didn't like that. Who is this? Who is this guy? The Pharisees and the high priests and the Sadducees. Who is this guy who has the claims to have the authority to forgive sins? And I tell you, even today people are doubting, as you've seen in our passage. And you know, because they can't stand that Jesus Christ have all authority. They want a bit of it. They want a bit of the authority. They want somehow to know that they can manipulate and control. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ to forgive sins. Then we have the power and authority to bring salvation. That's in Luke 19:9. To be saved, to have our name written in the book of life, to know that our past has been forgiven. We have been pulled out of the kingdom of darkness and we have been put in a kingdom of light. We have been saved. We are free because of Him. He paid the price for our salvation. And then the power and authority over evil spirits. Boy, don't we have them today? No, they were then and they are today. You know, evil spirits. Demonic spirits, cheating, lie, immorality of all sorts. We see it at all levels. And here we have a number of passages when there was freedom. There was deliverance from evil spirits. And that it's possible. And it's only Jesus Christ that has even the demons are afraid of Him. At one point it said, I don't know you, but I know Him. I know I'm afraid of Him. Boy, to have Christ. You know, Christ in us. It's the hope of glory. Christ in us is the power of God through the presence of the Holy Spirit. You remember a passage when Jesus said, you shall receive power. Sometimes you ask, where is that power? Because it should be the power of Christ. Jesus told the disciples at one point, you should be able to do even greater things than I did. Because He will be with us, and we'll see it a little bit later on in us. To heal the sick. It's amazing. Power and authority over the nature. He's the creator. We're going to see a little bit later on. He's the creator. He's in charge of the clouds. He's in charge of the winds. He created the creation. You know. I think the people in Oroville need to remember this. Yes, He controlled the clouds and He gave it as much as He wants it to. Nobody decides. He's in charge. And He knows why. But you know, there is the other verse that we need to remember. If my people will humble themselves and pray, what's next? I will heal the land. So regardless if it's too much rain, if it's too much wind, if it's too much snow, the Lord says, I am in charge. I created the skies. But if my people will humble themselves and pray, I will heal the land. Amen? He has the authority to heal the land. Then the last one. Boy, this one scares me. Power and authority to execute judgment. You know, no one is going to judge you than Jesus Christ. And when he comes back, he's not going to come as Savior. He's going to come as a judge. And you know what scares me? It's not what people see in me. It scares what people don't know about me. Things that goes in my hidden mind. It's scary sometimes. Because, you know, I don't know if you ever thought 20 years ago, have you ever thought that you can be recorded in such a way that they can recall your phone conversation because it's somewhere stored in some kind of server out there? But if man can do it, God can do it. And the scripture says that every word and every thought will be brought to the throne of judgment. That's why, you know, my wife, she is sweet. She is very special to me. And she's a prayer warrior. You know, she prays a lot. She prays sometimes. She prays too much. I don't know. You get to pray. Because, you know, as a servant, I need to pray with people. And I pray with this. I pray with that. I pray with this guy. And then when you come home, you know, you don't really feel like praying again. You know, at least not for a while. You know, anyway. You know. And then, you know, as a spiritual husband, you got to pray with your wife. You know what I mean? That's what you got to do. And then she starts to pray. And then she goes on and on and on. I say, listen, you got so long here, I don't even know what to pray for anymore. Because you pray for the whole world now. So, but you know, I get to the point and I say, listen now, I need to pray by myself. Because there are some things that the Lord needs to know. I need to talk to the Lord. Because I need to confess some stuff that only He needs to know. Because, you know, it'll come the time when you're all going to be judged. So, you know, it's interesting that authority, you know, we are talking about justice. We are talking about righteousness. We are talking about holiness. That's how authority is. And we need to remember that. So it's important to realize that the authority is displayed for us so we know who is this in charge over our lives. Now, why submit to this divine authority? Why not submit to under a different authority? We have in Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:15 says, because he is the image of invisible God. Then in 2:9 it says, in him dwells all the fullness of God. So, and I say this because there are still people who do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Even today, some of them claim to be Christians. Listen, that's why Christianity is unique. It's different. There is no, I teach a course at a university in Bucharest for the last 20 years in the history of religion. Christianity is unique because of its creator, because of Jesus Christ. May his name be glorified. In him is the fullness of God. There is no religious leader on the face of the earth, on any religions in thousands and thousands of years that you've heard that in him dwells the fullness of God. Only in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Yes. Now listen to this verse here. Colossians 1:16. Why submit to the divine authority of Jesus Christ? For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. So why so should I accept a second-hand authority? Why should I compromise? I want to submit to the one that has created authorities, the one that is in charge over any kind of authority. And that is only one, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's authority right there. Now, very quickly here, Christian believer, the member of the body of Christ, must accept the authority of Jesus. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, and you want to identify with Jesus Christ, there is no compromise, you know, there is no choice. Accept the authority, submit to that authority, and demonstrate obedience to that authority. There is a price to pay. There is a price to pay. But if you're a Christian, you know, I want to mention, and I'll be mentioning a little bit later on, my grandfather was arrested during communism, and he was tortured as you would not even imagine. And after he was sentenced to 9 years in prison, and he lost everything. Everything was confiscated. Everything was taken away because he chose to submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. They tried to corrupt him. There was psychological torture, physical, bodily torture to corrupt him, to submit and deny the authority of Jesus Christ. And he says, for nothing in the world, I wouldn't do that. Even though he lost everything. And I remember I went to visit him. Every communist country under the Soviet rule, they had their own Siberia. So Romania had a Siberia down south by the Black Sea. And I remember visiting my grandfather. And I saw his face. You would see that determined, that strong faith of a man who understood that he's called to submit only and obey only the authority of Jesus Christ. And I believe that today it is a test for Christianity, for us in Europe, and even for believers here in America. And I tell you, you know what is interesting? I want to share this with you. During the election in the United States, before the election here in the United States, the Romanian Christian believers, the Romanian evangelicals, have put aside 3 days of fasting and prayer. You remember the example that we have in Esther in the Old Testament, where she fasted and prayed for 3 days to save the people of Israel. Well, the Romanian believers have fasted and prayed for 3 days for the election in the United States of America. You know why? Because it was not just electing a president of a nation. It was about electing the president of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. That a nation that has been a blessing over decades and over centuries. So they've realized that America needs to have a godly authority. Let's go further on here. The second part. So the first part, the first truth, the first lesson, the first imperative is accept the authority of Jesus Christ. Recognize, bow down, submit to this authority. Don't compromise, don't question his authority. And then right after, because it's so important to see the context here, right after verse 18 comes verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And then later on, it speaks, you know, about teaching them to observe, you know. It's about calling to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's go on here now. It is so important. There are four passages in Scripture that are, of course, there are many of them, but I picked this four here about what it means to really go. Basically, in different words, the passage speaks about the need for us to be involved, to make a difference, to serve our Lord Jesus Christ and make a difference for him. It's called first passage. It's in our here, and it's Matthew 28, called to go and serve making disciples. You can't, you know, as a grandparent, as parents, we need to be so concerned about our children. Are they going to follow Jesus Christ? Are they going to be faithful? Are they going to love the Lord? How are we going to invest in them? It was so wonderful to hear the high schoolers praising the Lord today. I don't know if you've seen the team. It was a wonderful picture. And I hope that somebody took a picture here, because years from now, this picture was very important. On the right side, it was a man my age here with a bass guitar. Did you see him right there? Okay, he was not a high schooler, that's for sure. Anyway, and then on the right side here, it was another guy with an electric guitar. He was about my brother. He was not a high schooler too. But they were surrounded. Those were the disciples. They discipled all those high schoolers. And they create a platform for them, pushing them, go for it, make mistakes. We're there to uplift you. I don't know where God wants you to go. You need to know where you need to go. We are called to go and make a difference for him. The second passage is in Mark 16. It's called to go and serve, communicating the gospel. And it says, go and preach the gospel. Communicate the gospel, the good news. And you know, there are so many ways to do this. I think we need to be so creative. You know, and if you're a Christian, you have to have the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture says that the Spirit will guide you in all the truth. He will guide you. He'll give you the direction. He'll open your eyes and he'll give you the opportunity to read. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a Louis Palau to do that. No, not at all. You know, you just have to have a heart, you know, for souls. And somebody asked me, Mr. Vachuan, how do you define a call? I said, I'll tell you how I define. If one has really a call, you have to love the Word of God and you have to love the people. You know, you have to love man and the Word of God. You know, you have to be in love with these two. You see people, there are people that are dying and going to hell around us. And you might be the only Jesus people might see. So the responsibility for us is not to keep our mouth shut. And of course, sometimes you are embarrassed. What are the people? You know, Pastor Paul calls us that we, you know, at one point, you know, he says that we got to be crazy. You know, crazy for the cross. Crazy for Christ. It's not in style to be a Christian. No. It's not in style, really. You know, to be religious, that's okay. Just go to church, go home. You know, somebody told me, he said, you know, you can go and you can lock yourself in the garage and you're not going to come out a Mercedes out of that. You know, if you stay 10 days in your garage and, you know, your wife and my lock you in there, you know, you're not going to come out of a Mercedes. That's the same thing with going to church. We may go to church and you go to church years and years and years, and if nothing happens to us, if we don't get excited about Jesus Christ, if we don't get motivated to make a difference for him, what's the use? I'm questioning, is it really Christ present in us? Called to go and serve, belong to being a witness for Jesus Christ. We're talking about here from verbal to life, you know. Making a difference, being a witness, wherever you are, let people know that Christ is alive, he's risen in you. And here, you got to be a little creative. And I tell you a little story here about this. My wife, there are 9 siblings in the family. There are 9 brothers and sisters. And a few of them, about 4 of them, live up north, Portland, Vancouver area. So when we come back from the field, then we go and visit them. And anytime we go up north, I like to stop into a little town. I love this town. It's so cute. It's small. It's kind of hippish. A bunch of weirdos around there. It's Ashland, Oregon. Have you been there? You know, I like that. You know, it's kind of weird. They have the Shakespeare Center there, and then they have the Southern Oregon University there. And you know, my dream was, you know, I would love to witness the youth here. I would like to be involved in a youth ministry in this village. But it didn't come. It came the time when we left and we went to Romania. But since then, it's a nostalgia. I always stop into this Ashland town. And where do you think I stop? Starbucks. That's what I do. So not very long ago, I stopped. It was early in the morning. It was near the holidays. So we stopped in. We got our coffee. My family was sitting there. And then after about 5 minutes, there was a man, a local, that came into the coffee shop. And this guy was angry. He heard the Christmas music, and he was so angered, and he was so mad about it. And he hollered and he screamed at the young lady, "Turn the music off. I don't want to shut the thing off. I don't want to hear that music." And I looked at the guy. Oh, boy, you know, the blood pressure. You know, I said, "What is the guy? Who does he think he is? What is it doing?" I got upset, disappointed. I waited until he got his coffee and he sat at the table. Then I took my coffee and I went to his table. And I asked permission. I said, "Will you please let me sit?" "Oh, yeah, sure," I said. I said, "Listen, I was here when you came into the coffee shop. And I saw you and I heard your attitude. I heard you screaming at the young lady to turn the music off. And I said, they bother me. I got so upset and so disappointed at your attitude. I said, I grew up in communism. I grew up in oppression. I couldn't wait to come to this country to have the freedom to listen to this music. By God's grace, I've been adopted. I'm an American citizen. I can listen to this music because this is a blessed country. And here you come. You come into the store here. And you told the lady to turn the music off. It was so discouraging and disappointed what you did. I hope you'll never do that again." He looked at me and he said, "I'm sorry." In my mind, I said, "You better be." He didn't say anything, you know. He didn't say anything. But anyway, he turned pale. You know, I took off right away. I thought he might get to have a gun or something. You know, but took off. But I want to say there are options. There are opportunities for you. You go shopping. You go jogging. You go to work. There is impossible not to have an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with the people around you, to let people know what Christ has done for you. You've seen in some of the videos there, you have seen baptisms, because baptism in Romania, it's a big celebration. It's community celebration. And it's not just a 2-3 minute. And when I came to the States and I saw they baptized and they dunk them in, and then 3 minutes they're all out, it's all over. Oh, they have a 3-hour service. And once they, those that are they're ready to be baptized, they dressed in white and they all give a personal testimony. Before you, the baptism that you see, the church was a new plant. I worked in that church as it was newly planted. They had 20 members and the attendance was 400. The mayor, the city officials, the police, they were all there. They all gave a personal testimony about who Christ is. It was not just changing a religion. No, a baptism for them was not just a ritual. It was identifying with Jesus Christ, who died with me and I died for my sin. He died for my sin and I rose with Christ to a new life in Christ. And my white clothes reflects the beauty of righteousness that Christ has given to me. Each one by one, gives its personal testimony. Be a witness for Jesus Christ. It's called, the last one, it's called to go and serve, showing the love of Christ. You know the passage in Luke 10? It is the passage with a Samaritan, you know, the Good Samaritan. And the words that Jesus uses after all this Samaritan story, it's presented. Jesus says, you go and do the same. You go and do the same. Now imagine here in South Lake Tahoe, San Francisco, or wherever we are in Romania, if we are ambassadors for Christ. We are not there by we don't believe in luck. It's not as if God knows exactly the people that you have around you, and He knows exactly why He puts you where you are in order to make a difference for Him and to show Christ's love. And you know something? Sometimes people are tired of talking, they want to see Christ. And we got to find ways to communicate the beauty of Christ, the love of Christ through our own actions. And it starts in the family, in our relationships, you know. I met family, and you know, sometimes, you know, the most difficult time in the ministry, it is counseling. And I am telling you, I don't know, so many divorces that I can't believe these days. And you know, you sit with people, and you try to convince them, you know, you guys, get your heads together. You're crazy. What's wrong with you? And, well, irreconcilable difference. What are you talking about? Irreconcilable differences. Did there's any irreconcilable differences when Christ loved you and He died for you? And it's nothing serious about it. It's just, we can't get along anymore. Seriously. Yeah. You're on a smack. You can't do that. Anyway, but, you know, when you see what Christ done for us, you know, in His grace, there was no irreconcilable differences. And there aren't irreconcilable differences. You can sin more than Christ can forgive you. That's grace. Of course, this it's not a license to sin, but we have a great God, and we need to communicate that love. We need to learn to forgive and to love and to go on. We all make mistakes, and we all are failures at one point or another. Serving. Let's go further on here. It's called, and I hope that this evening, out of all this evening, my hope is that you will be encouraged and you'll be refreshed in this truth of serving Jesus Christ. And this, you know what this calls for? To reconsider your priorities, to reconsider your values and make a difference for Him. Sometimes we have to discipline ourselves in whatever we do in order to make a difference for Him. Christian believer, the member of the body of Christ is called to serve, looking at the model, an example we have in Jesus Christ. He is our model. And you know, you have the passage in Philippians. He left the glories of heaven. You know, he became man. He left the beauties of heaven. He became man. He became a slave for me. Serving implies suffering. Warren Wiersbe, Christian writer, said ministry without suffering, it's worth nothing. Ministry without suffering, it's worth nothing. Jesus, in order to serve, He gave of Himself. He sacrificed. Not what was left over. No. He gave the best for us. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, it is the theologian, German theologian, who was executed right before Germany lost the war. And, you know, it says, when Christ calls someone, calls him to die. When Christ calls someone, he calls me to die. To die to the old me. To die to the old life. So I can live for Christ. Amen? Serving. Serving implies modeling Christ. And you know, sometimes it's difficult because we want to look at some other models. Our true model of serving is Jesus Christ, who sacrificed for us. The last passage there is a call to serve, putting to work our spiritual gifts for edification of the body. Now, it is impossible. We all have at least one spiritual gift, at least one spirit. We have no excuse that I can do it or I'm not educated or I don't know. If you are a believer and if you have the presence of the Holy Spirit, you have at least one spiritual gift. And, you know, it's so wonderful to see that all those, what were those, burritos, what were those? They were sold out already. To see there were already burritos and trampolines. What were they? Well, anyway, to see that you're jumping. Well, anyway, they were all sold out. You know, to see people jumping in, to see people ready to get involved, to make a difference in a community, that's what it's all about. I don't think there is an invitation. If the Spirit of God is in you, you know, it's the Spirit that will cause you to do it. Sir, putting toward the spiritual gifts. Yeah. Oh, imagine if here at Sierra Community. Imagine if people will be on fire for the Lord here. Imagine what those guys, they're not only going to get a good day of skiing or a snowboarding, they are really going to get a heavenly experience here. A real heavenly experience here when they come to know Sierra Community and they come to know you and see Christ in you. It's called to serve knowing that we are. Now listen to this verse here. We're not just any kind of priests. We're not just any kind of servants. We are high class. We are royal stuff, you know, royal blood. Look at that. It's called serve knowing that we are a holy and royal priesthood. High class, you know, not just anybody. This is in 1 Peter and then in Hebrew and then in Romans, you know. We are called to serve because we are royal priesthood. A priest sacrifices. A priest is the one that intercedes, is preoccupied of the well-being of the others. He wants to make a difference. We are all called priests of the Most High. What a privilege. What an honor. And you know, we have so many reasons to be disappointed and discouraged. But when you look at this verse, he gave you the honor. Listen, it's not because he needs you or he needs me. He can do the work without me in you. He can do it. And if you refuse, and if I refuse, somebody else will get the blessing. I don't want anybody else to get the blessing. I want to get the blessing. I want to serve him. I want to get the reward when I get to heaven. Because I didn't say no. I want to say, here I am, Lord. Use me. I want to make a difference for me, for you. It's the second verse there. It's called to serve with the assurance of the continuous presence of Christ. What an encouragement. In our passage here, you remember what Jesus said? He said, I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You're not going to do it alone. He's with you. He's present with you. Even though, you know, we are going to pay the price. And, you know, here is the passage. It says, knowing that we might pay the price to suffer. You remember in Matthew, blessed are those who for the name of my sake will be persecuted. It is a privilege if you have to suffer for Jesus Christ, to be embarrassed, you know, to lose your job for Jesus Christ. And it will come the time. You know, Satan is wicked. You know, Satan has a dual plan, dual strategy. He will attack and destroy either the family or the church, because those are the two creations God has given us. He will try to destroy the family, and he will try to destroy the church. And he will do anything he can to discourage us from serving him. But even if we have to, you know, and we have so many examples of people that have suffered, you know, people that have lost. You know, one example that comes to mind to me, I don't know if you watched the movie Schindler's List. Have you watched the movie Schindler's List? Yeah. Oh, yes. If you didn't watch it, watch it. The last part, the last couple of minutes of the movie shows Schindler, the war is over, and this guy paid for thousands of Jews to be saved so they wouldn't go to Auschwitz. And he developed this company that he had, this business, in order to bribe the German Nazis so he could buy the Jews and save souls. And the last moment, the last clip that you see Schindler, when the remaining Jews that were saved, they took out their golden teeth out, and they made a ring for Schindler. So the golden ring. So they came to offer. And in that particular moment, this is crucial. In that particular moment, he sees between the people, he sees his car. And at the moment, you know, they were all coming to be grateful and thankful and to offer this symbol of thanksgiving, this ring. He saw the car, his car. And he says, why? Why? I could have sold that. Why didn't I sell it? I could have bought more Jews. I could have saved more souls. Why didn't I sell that? Imagine to look back over the years and to say, I could have done better. I could have invested for Jesus. I could have done more to see more people saved. But I didn't. It's called to serve Christ, knowing that we receive our rewards from Christ. I teach at a seminary in Bucharest, theological seminary, for the last 20 years. A little story about the seminary. In the 1920s, the American missionaries went to Bucharest, Romania, the capital, 2 million people, and they bought a property downtown Bucharest. They bought a property, and they built two beautiful buildings there, five-story buildings there, beautiful buildings, in 1920s. In 1945, communism took over, and they wanted to demolish that. The communist regime wanted to destroy that, to bulldozer that, but they couldn't because that was American land and it acted like an American embassy. They couldn't touch it. Think of it, the vision of a handful of faithful people 100 years ago that have invested out of their own resources to be a blessing for 100 years. So many thousands that have been trained and equipped because they were serious about serving Jesus Christ. I was in Romania when, interesting, missionaries from U.S. went to Brazil to plant churches in Brazil. After the collapse of communism, Brazilian believers have come to Romania to teach us to plant churches because somebody invested in them. So they, in turn, came to invest in Romania. My first Bible. I was 17 years old on a Friday. We didn't have a pastor during communism. And there was those handmade baskets. And the elder says, no one moves. We have a gift for you. And there were those Bibles that were smuggled in. And at that time, I received my first Bible. My first Bible. I treasured that. You know why? Because there were believers here in America that have invested to a young man, 12 years old, to have a Bible to know Jesus. That was more than almost 50 years ago. Serving the Lord, giving of yourself, making a difference for Christ. Romanians knew what they've lost during the years of communism. That's why today, by law, every public school from elementary all the way to high school, there are Bible classes mandatory for students. They know that communism has destroyed the minds, and atheism and humanism destroyed the minds of generations. So they introduce Bibles back in public schools so they will be exposed to godly wisdom and understand the authority of Christ. Making a difference for him. We're getting close to finishing here. This is the challenge. Yeah. You remember Joshua? He got out of Egypt. And Joshua was a faithful man. But he was surrounded by people that weren't that faithful. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. And here he comes. But as for me and my house, and then he comes the plural, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Taking charge, understanding the imperative of being faithful to God. Will you please say that with me together? This last part here. If you really consider that it is important to serve the Lord. Will you say it with me? We'll say it together. Okay. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. One more verse here in closing. Okay. This is Apostle Paul. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most every moment, every minute, every day counts in the light of eternity. May the Lord bless you abundantly so we can all be faithful and encourage each other to be faithful. So when we are going to face Him together, to stand in line to get our rewards. Amen. Amen. God bless you and thank you.